I'm glad to be here. It's an opportunity, and I'm thankful that Pastor Hamilton gave me the opportunity to speak this morning. And I'd like you, if you would please, turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to look at it today, and kind of through a lens, we're going to try to look through the whole thing. And as you turn there, let me just say thank you to all of you. Many of you gave me some very kind cards last week as I turned 40, and very thankful for that. You guys are very gracious, and it was a lot of fun. And thank you for your partnership in that way. Also, my wife and I are happy. Thank you as well for your kindness and your support of us. And we've been enjoying the last month or so that we've had the opportunity to spend with you in a kind of unbroken, more or less, way. This week we're at family camp at Peniel, and then Lord willing, a week from tomorrow, we'll be headed to one of our supporting churches in Arkansas, and we'll spend about 5.5 weeks there. So we'll be away again for a while, but we're glad that glad for the last couple weeks that we've had here in Ohio. This morning I'd like to talk about the book of Philippians, and the book of Philippians has always been interesting to me because it really is a missionary prayer letter. And that's one of my burdens is every month to try to sit down and write a prayer letter and think, what do I say? And oftentimes I come back to the book of Philippians simply because it's an inspired missionary prayer letter. It's written by a missionary, Paul, to one of his supporting churches, the church at Philippi. And this book really is about missionary support. And Paul talks about that, and that's what I'd like to look at this morning, this idea of our partnership in the gospel. And then I'd like to briefly just look through the book, not in an exhaustive sort of way in any way at all, but really just look through the book and look at the book through the lens of this idea of gospel teamwork. Maybe you have had or have the privilege of being part of a team. Maybe it's a sports team, and maybe you remember back to the glory days when you were part of a sports team, maybe a championship team, or maybe a less than championship team. Perhaps you're part of a team at work that works on a specific project or oversees a specific function. Perhaps you're part of an organization that works together. And one of the amazing things about working together is we sometimes call it synergy. And the idea of synergy is that people working together, and when they're working well, can accomplish more together than they would working separately. And one of the beautiful things about teamwork is that we inspire one another, we help one another, we push one another on to higher heights and better things. But of course, that teamwork has to be a good team. We may also have had the experience of being part of a bad team, one that didn't have a clear direction, one that didn't have good unity, one that did not accomplish its intended purpose. And Paul talks to the Philippian church, and he encourages them, and he thanks God for them, and specifically thanks God for their partnership in the gospel. Paul begins this letter, like he does most of his letters, with a thanksgiving prayer, a prayer to God, thanking God for the readers. And you notice in verse 3, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. And Paul, of course, writing from prison. I don't know if he was writing. I don't know if he was dictating. But maybe at that moment, I could just imagine him just kind of staring out the window or staring off into space and just thinking about what the church at Philippi meant to him and how they had been significant to him. And he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, making mention of you in my prayers. And he says, verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel. And so when Paul prayed for the Philippian church, he thanked God for them because of their partnership in the gospel. Now this word partnership, you're familiar with it, you know it, and you may be familiar with the word fellowship. This is a very broad word, and it's one an idea that we use many times in many ways. I mentioned previously the idea of a team of people who are working together. That's a partnership. That's this idea right here. Perhaps an association, a homeowners association, a group of neighbors who get together and say, we want to make our neighborhood a safer place, a better place, a more enjoyable place to live, and they gather together in that community. Maybe it's a community of people who share a hobby or something that they like to do together, a running community or a knitting community or people who like to get together because they have a common interest or something like that. We might even use this word in the sense of a group of people who have pooled resources and then they want to share those resources with someone in the form of a scholarship. And we even call that sometimes is called a fellowship or a sharing. And this idea of a fellowship or something that's shared or a partnership or something that is held in common, a community, this is what Paul says he thanks God for. He thanks God for the Philippians' partnership. He says, I thank God because of your partnership. Now, what kind of partnership is he talking about? I think quickly of 1 John chapter 1, where John says that our fellowship is in Jesus Christ, and we have a sense of community with every person who believes in Jesus Christ. Everyone who has acknowledged that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's the Son of God, and that what he did for us on the cross was he died for my sins in my place, and because of his righteousness, I can be right with God. I can be called, as John says in chapter 1 of his gospel, that I have the right to be called a child of God. And every person who's a child of God, we have a sense of community with. Whether that's someone that we just met and we find out that they're a believer too. Whether it's someone in another country that we don't really speak very well, we can't really communicate very well with them, but we have that bond in Christ. But Paul isn't just talking about fellowship in Jesus Christ here. I think he takes that one step further. He says to the Philippian church, he says, I thank God because of your partnership in the gospel. He's not just saying your partnership because we've all believed the gospel. He's saying our partnership for the sake of the gospel. Our partnership so that the gospel advances. And I'd like to really talk about really my conclusion when we say, well, what is the purpose of the gospel? Why are we partnered? Why are we teamed up for the gospel? Really, the gospel has two purposes. For those of us who have been saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel is changing us, making us more like Jesus Christ. This is what God is doing. He's saving people and making them more like His Son. Everything that He ordains in our lives is for our good, and that good is that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. And so the gospel achieves its purpose in our circle, in our church, as we become more like Jesus Christ. And so we say that we're here growing together into Christ-likeness. That's the goal that we have for meeting here this morning. And I hope that's the goal that you had in your mind, that I want to grow to be more like Jesus Christ, and I want to help those around me grow to be more like Jesus Christ. But the gospel isn't just limited to our group right here, the people who are in this room or these four walls. The gospel is, as Paul said, he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, Jew or Gentile. It doesn't make any difference because all have sinned and all have fallen short of God's glory. And so the gospel goes to everyone. And you and I work with people and we live next door to people and we're related to people and we're friends with people who don't know Jesus Christ. And the gospel is for them. And they need to turn from their sins and believe the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ. And so the gospel's purpose as well is that it would go to people who have not heard it and that they would turn from their sin and believe in Jesus Christ. And so we gather each week on the first day of the week. Why? So that the gospel would have its purpose, that we would be edified, that we would be built up to be more like Jesus Christ, that the body would build itself up in love, Ephesians chapter 4 says. And then at the end of the service, we dismiss and we go our separate ways so that we can take that gospel to all the people that we interact with day in and day out. And Paul says that he and the Philippian church have partnered together for the sake of the gospel so that they would see that gospel, those gospel purposes accomplished. And what I'd like for you and I to look at this morning is, as we look at the book of Philippians, we'll see that that's exactly what Paul has in mind. And I'd like to show you several things about gospel teamwork. If we could use that idea, that metaphor of a team, a gospel team, and we are united, we are partnered together to see the gospel achieve those purposes, to help make us more like Jesus Christ, and to see the gospel reach places that it does not. That's why we support missionaries in other countries, because we can't all go to all these other countries, but we can team with those missionaries to help them see the gospel reach those places as well. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about to the believers in Philippi. They're there in Philippi seeing the gospel work its purpose in their assembly. And they also are supporting and praying for and encouraging him as he takes the gospel to other places and hopes to continue to do so after he's released from prison. So how did the Philippian church partner with Paul for the gospel? What are some characteristics that we can see of gospel teamwork? Now, this is not an exposition of the book of Philippians. That would take much longer. But what I'd like to do is say this idea of gospel teamwork is really the lens through which we should look at the book of Philippians. This is really the theme of what the book of Philippians is about. It's about a missionary writing to a church that supports him and thanking God for their teamwork, their partnership in the gospel, and talking about what that looks like. And as we look at how Paul talks to the Philippian church and thanks God for their partnership in the gospel, I'd like for us to be thinking about how we, as Westerville Bible Church, can partner and team for the gospel with one another and with our missionaries as well. So as we're thinking, let's think about application to ourselves at the same time. Paul says he thanks God because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The Philippian church had been partnered. They had teamed up with Paul. They had been on the same page from the first day. That first time in Acts chapter 16 when Paul came to the city of Philippi and he went to a prayer meeting on the banks of the river and God opened the heart of Lydia so that she believed the truth. And then how God, through Jesus' power, removed a demon from that slave girl. And then there was the riot and then they were thrown into prison. And then God released them from prison and the jailer's family was converted. And then they were forced to leave. And that church was born in that incredible time. And Paul says, from that first day until now, he says, I thank God for your partnership in the gospel, your teamwork in the gospel. And he says, going on in verse 6, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And the first thing I'd like you to see as we think about gospel teamwork is that gospel teamwork begins with the work of the gospel in our own lives. It begins with the work of the gospel in our own lives. That's where the teamwork starts. He says, I know that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And he says that God, when he saved us, that was not all that he was doing. That was not the end of the purpose of the gospel. As I said before, the purpose of the gospel is not just to justify us so that we don't have to go to hell and so that we could go to heaven, but it's to change us, to sanctify us, to be more like Jesus Christ. And ultimately, at the day of Christ, when we're with him, when we see him, we will be like him. And we will be glorified in that way. It will be brought to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So the gospel teamwork begins with the work of the gospel in our own lives. And that is that starting point for that teamwork that it begins. It begins with the gospel reaching us and then desiring to see that reach more people and to build in our own lives as God brings that work to completion. He says in verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you all are partakers with me of grace. And that word partakers is that word again, that sharing, that community. You share this in common with me in the grace that we have received in the gospel. Furthermore, Paul says, it's right for me to feel this way. He says, I hold you in my heart. He says, verse 8, I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ. He says, I love you. I care about you. Gospel teamwork means that we love each other. And Paul says, it's not just that I love you, but he says, verse 9, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more. I want you to grow in your love for one another. Gospel teamwork means that we love each other. Jesus said that his disciples would be known because of their love for one another. When we love one another, we care for one another. We desire to put others' needs ahead of our own. And this is really the basis of this teamwork. Maybe you've heard a player interviewed after winning a championship and they say, oh, I just love this team so much. And I don't know if they've thought real hard about that or if they're saying that in a theological way or any sort of thing, but they said there's an affection that they have for these other players, that they have given themselves for the goal of the team and that's brought them closer. Maybe after a week working together or a week of camp or something like that or getting through a project together, there's a bond that develops. And Paul says this bond that God is growing in us is the love that we have for one another. Paul says to the Philippian church, or Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that every believer has been taught by God to love one another. And John says that if you don't love one another, if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, then maybe that's because they're not actually your brother and sister. In other words, you demonstrate that you're not a believer. And so Paul says this is a characteristic of gospel teamwork, is the love that we have for one another. And that doesn't just mean like, oh, they're just my favorite people and I love to hang out with them, but it means that I care for them. I care for them with the love of Jesus Christ. If God loved that person and saved them, then I love them too. And that's a constant work in progress that the Holy Spirit produces in us, the fruit of Christ likeness, love. Love for one another. And Paul prays that their love would abound more and more, because gospel teamwork means that we love each other. Paul goes on to say in verse 12, he says, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What has happened to Paul? He's been thrown in prison. Okay, this wasn't like a minimum security sort of thing, three hot meals and a cot. This was a rough spot. This was a bad place. This was something that would break somebody physically and mentally and emotionally. And Paul is in prison simply for being someone who preached Christ, someone who took the gospel to places where it wasn't. But Paul says, you know what? I want you to know that what happened, actually this advanced the gospel. And if you think about that external goal of the gospel, that it would go to more and more people, Paul says, you know what? This hasn't been a great thing. I don't think Paul would say, I just love being in prison. But he says, it accomplished the goal. And I'm willing to take this for the team, because the goal is that the gospel goes to more and more people. That external goal of the gospel is to see the gospel go to people who don't know Christ. And he says, I'm in prison, but that's actually served to advance the gospel. It's become known, verse 13, throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest, that my imprisonment's for Christ. He says, I've been able to witness to people I never would have had a chance to witness to before. And furthermore, verse 14, not only externally, but internally, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul says, my imprisonment has actually encouraged other believers to be more bold in their witness as well. I've actually built up other believers. And Paul says, in all of this difficulty that I've endured, he says, it's actually achieved the goal of the team. And I am willing to suffer that in order to advance the gospel, advance the goals of the team. So gospel teamwork means that we're willing to suffer difficulty to advance the gospel. When we're focused on the goal of the team, we're willing to endure hardship. Think about any team that says, boy, we went through some hard times as a team, but our goal was always the same. It was the championship, or it was completing this project. And we kept our eyes on the goal, and we got through the hard times. And Paul says the same thing. I'm willing to suffer hard times. I'm willing to be in prison, because this is actually advancing the goal. That more people, that we would become more like Christ, and that more people would hear the gospel. So gospel teamwork means we're willing to suffer difficulty to advance the gospel. Verse 19, Paul says, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Now, I just want you to note here that Paul is confident in his release from prison. He says that this is going to happen because of this help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that God is going to enable him to leave. But he also says that will be through your prayers. And simply, gospel teamwork means that we pray for each other. Gospel teamwork means we pray for each other. And Paul acknowledges that just as he prays for the Philippian church, they have been praying for him. And I love to go to this verse to talk about, answer the question, why would we pray? One of the reasons we pray is because God ordains that He will work through the prayers of His people. And so we pray with great confidence. 1 John chapter 5 says, when we pray according to God's will, and so we pray God's will for one another. We pray that our brothers who are sick and sisters who are sick, that they would be raised up if it would be God's will. And there's many things we could pray, perhaps financial things or job concerns. We can pray these and pray that God's will would be done. But there's many needs, spiritual needs, that we know are God's will, and we can pray those with great confidence for one another. And when we're part of a gospel team, and we're involved in gospel teamwork, and we're caring for one another, and we want to see each other, the gospel work in one another's lives, we pray for one another. Not just people who are having problems, but for each one individually on a regular basis, praying for them that they would become more like Jesus Christ. That's the goal, that we pray for one another. We pray for it, and sometimes people say, well, what should I pray for a person? I don't know if there's anything wrong with them. What's the most important thing in their life? What is the thing that they need more than anybody, anything? Well, for every person in the world, there's really only two things that they need more than anything. If they're an unbeliever, they need more than anything to come to Christ and believe in Him. And if they're a believer, the most important thing in their life is that they would become more like Jesus Christ. So we should continually be upholding one another before God, interceding for one another, praying for one another as part of this gospel teamwork. Verse 20, Paul says, "It's my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain." Gospel teamwork, I think, wants to see Christ honored above all. Now, you can imagine someone who says, boy, I would give everything for my team. Someone who says, I'm willing to play with an injury. I'll play right through the pain in order to help my team. Or I'm willing to sit the bench for my team. Or I'm willing to do some sort of difficult task for the team. Paul says, I'm willing to die for the team. I'm willing to give everything if Christ will be honored and if the gospel will be advanced. This is the kind of commitment that Paul had to this gospel partnership. And I don't know if we would say, well, that's the same kind of commitment I have. But Paul says this is exactly right, because this is more important to me than life, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. He goes on to say, if I die, then I'm with Christ, and that's even better. But he says, if I live, I'm going to serve Christ with every ounce of my being. This is a statement of the commitment that Paul has to this partnership, to this teamwork. It's not just a matter of, I'd really like to see these goals accomplished. He says, I'm willing to give my life for them. And for Paul, it did mean giving his physical life. But also, in the years that God gave him, it meant giving everything for that goal. How committed are we to building one another up to see the gospel advance and make one another more like Jesus Christ? How committed are we to seeing the gospel go to people who haven't heard? And to do that ourselves, or to help other people take it to places we can't go. How committed are we? Gospel teamwork wants to see Christ honored above all. Dropping down into verse 27, Paul says, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." If the goal of our partnership, of our teamwork, is the gospel and seeing the gospel advance in our lives and around the world, what does that mean? Well, it means living in a way that's worthy of the gospel. What does it mean to live worthy of the gospel? Well, we could speculate on all sorts of things, but Paul goes forward and tells us exactly what it means. "So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Down in verse 30, "engage in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have." I think that the upshot of this is that they are unified, that they are pursuing Christ in a unified way. And gospel teamwork is characterized by uncommon unity. Uncommon unity. Now, the world knows something about unity, right? There are teams, there are groups, there are military units who have incredible unity. How do they have that unity? They're focused on the goal. And team members are willing to give up everything in order to see the goal advanced. But here we have the highest goal. This is more important than winning a championship or completing a project or even winning a war. The goal is to see Jesus Christ glorified and the gospel advanced. And if our minds and hearts are focused on that one goal, then there will be an uncommon unity among us. We are focused on the goal and not simply on these things as well. So gospel teamwork is characterized by uncommon unity. Paul follows it up in chapter 2 with examples of people that we ought to follow and to imitate. And of course, the first one in chapter 2 in the first several verses is Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus Christ is an example of this kind of thing because he humbled himself. He's an example of individual humility. And gospel teamwork is founded on individual Christ-like humility. Here's Jesus Christ. He's God's Son, equal with God in every way. He humbles himself, and he comes to earth, and he comes as a servant. And he dies on the cross in obedience to the Father. And if Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, humbles himself, how much more ought we to humble ourselves and to serve one another? Gospel teamwork is founded on individual Christ-like humility. Just going to keep moving here. Verse 14, Paul says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." So, well, where did that come from? Well, this is exactly right in the middle of this discussion about this uncommon unity that characterizes gospel teamwork. What is the one thing that can destroy unity more than anything else? Gospel teamwork is destroyed by grumbling and bickering. What is grumbling and bickering? It's the opposite of being focused on the goal. It's losing focus on the goal of seeing the gospel, seeing the gospel change us to be more like Jesus Christ. It's losing focus of the goal of seeing the gospel go to places where it doesn't go and to people who haven't heard it. And instead, focusing on my preferences, my things that I'm upset about, my idiosyncrasies, things that I don't like, my hurt feelings, whatever it is, it's losing focus on the goal and focusing on myself instead. It's the opposite of the humility and the self-giving sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Gospel teamwork is destroyed by grumbling and bickering. And so Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. He says, and the goal, verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding fast to the word of life. He says, what I want to see you doing is not grumbling and bickering, but instead holding fast to the word of life. This idea of holding fast is, if you can imagine hiking somewhere, and all of a sudden you slip and you start to go over the edge of a cliff, and you flail and you grab and you get a hold of a branch or a root or something like that, and you are holding on to it for everything that you've got. Because if you let go, it will mean certain death. And Paul says, I pray to see that you are holding fast to the word of life, the word that gives life, and you hold to it with everything that you've got, and you don't let go for any reason. The writer of Hebrews writes to people who were holding on to faith in Jesus Christ, but they were thinking about letting go and maybe trusting the safety net of Judaism. And he says, do not let go, because if you let go, it will be to your destruction. And so we hang on to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we don't let go. If you're hanging on like that, you don't say, oh, somebody's calling me, I better text them back and see how, let them know how I am and where I'm at. No, you hang on for everything you've got. And Paul says, I want to see you holding fast to the word of life so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. This is why I'm ministering. This is why I am faithfully giving the gospel, whether it's in prison or whether it's in other places. And this is why you are serving one another in Philippi and giving the gospel there, is so that you will continue to hold fast to the word of life. It means persevering in faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, when that happens, he says, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. What is it that causes great joy and rejoicing in this gospel team? It's when we persevere in faith in Jesus Christ. Gospel teamwork means we rejoice when others faithfully pursue Christ. Do we rejoice with one another when somebody gets a promotion or someone gets married or has a baby? Yes, absolutely. We rejoice with them. But we rejoice with them as well when they continue to persevere in faith in Jesus Christ. And when someone says, I've been struggling this week, but I kept turning back to Jesus Christ. I kept looking back to the Word and remembering what God has said, and I believed what God said more than how I felt. And we say, that's awesome. That is so exciting. That is huge. That is why I pray for you. That is why I serve you. That is why I care for you as my brother and sister in Christ, is to see that happen. Gospel teamwork means we rejoice when others faithfully pursue Christ. Are we excited about that when other people on our team are doing well? I hope we are. Dropping down to verse 20, Paul talks about Timothy. And what does he say about Timothy? I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Again, characteristic of a great teammate. Gospel teamwork means we put each other's best interests first. And this wraps up all these things that we've been talking about. Love is really putting the best for another person ahead of what I want to do and saying, what's most important to me is your best. And what's best for you is that you follow Christ and that you pursue Him and that you grow to be more like Jesus Christ. And whatever happens to me, I'll put that down. That's not as important. My preferences or getting my way or doing things the way I like, that's not important. What's more important to me is seeing others cared for and putting others' best interests first and putting Christ's interest first. In verse 25 through 30, Paul talks about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was from the church at Philippi. And in fact, not only did the church at Philippi support Paul financially, but when they heard he had problems, specifically that he was in jail, they sent one of their own, Epaphroditus, to go and be with Paul and take care of him. And so Epaphroditus is with Paul, and he says, I'm planning on sending him back to you. He says, he's my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. And Epaphroditus is an example of someone who is a great gospel teammate. He cared about Paul and taking care of him. And it says he was willing, in verse 30, he risked his life to complete what was lacking in your service. He got so sick because he was working to serve, he almost died. And Paul says what bothered Epaphroditus most was that if I told you that he was sick, that you would be worried about him. And he doesn't want you to be worried about him. He wants to get better so that he can keep serving. He is a gospel teammate. He's someone who risks his life to serve each other. Gospel teamwork means we risk our lives to serve one another. You say, well, that sounds kind of extreme. Well, perhaps in our context, at least at this time, there are brothers and sisters around the world who literally must risk their lives to serve one another. But we also are willing to give our lives. We're willing to risk our comfort. We're willing to risk our sense of privacy, to open our lives and our hearts and our homes to one another, to help one another, and to say, you know what, I'm not guarding my time and being stingy with that. I'm willing to say, whatever I need to do, however I can serve you, because we're part of the same team. Paul says this is what gospel teamwork means. It means we risk our lives to serve each other. Chapter 3 is really, those first 11 verses talk about what the gospel is in its message. And Paul says that we are those who worship by the Spirit of God. We glory in Christ Jesus. We put no confidence in the flesh. And Paul says, anything that detracts from Christ, none of it is worth anything to me. The only thing that matters is pursuing Christ and in Him alone. And in fact, he goes on to say that he says, I will leave everything behind in order to pursue that. Gospel teamwork means we're committed to the purity of the gospel, that we know what the gospel is, that we can articulate it well and accurately, and that we're willing to hang on to that for everything and not give it up. Gospel teamwork means we are committed to the purity of the gospel. And furthermore, in the rest of the chapter there, I think we could say that gospel teamwork means we pursue Christ and passionately encourage others to do the same. We encourage others to do the same. He says, I leave everything behind, and all I'm focused on is knowing Christ and straining for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, to be more like Him, to know Him, and to make Him known. And he says, verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me. Follow that example, and let's pursue Christ together. Gospel teamwork means we pursue Christ and passionately encourage each other to do the same. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, was the unity of the Philippian gospel team 100%? No, it wasn't. And Paul actually addresses two ladies here. You say, how do they know they're ladies? Well, they're ladies' names. I entreat Yodia and I entreat Syntyche. I guess they're not common names. That would be kind of weird to name your daughter that. But he says, I entreat you two ladies to agree in the Lord. Here's two ladies who had a disagreement, and they get called out in Scripture. And he says, verse 3, yes, I ask you also, true companion, he's addressing someone else there in the church, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together. They're part of the gospel team. They have served together. And I'm guessing it wasn't just for a little while. They've served together for a long time. And they've had faithful ministry, fruitful ministry together. But now they've lost sight of the goal. And what have they gotten into instead? Grumbling and bickering. Thinking about themselves, thinking about their own preferences, thinking about what they wanted to do, and they couldn't agree with one another. And he says, help them to agree in the Lord. And so he says, they've labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And here's what I think we could say. Gospel teamwork means we work side by side because we're together in the book of life. And this really is just a matter of perspective. Maybe you say, well, oh, I have such a disagreement of opinion with this brother or sister in the congregation. They want to do this, and I want to do this, and I disagree with that, and I think it should be like this. Is that at the same level of being in the book of life together? Paul says, we have been granted that unity in Christ, and we ought to live out that unity in daily life. Gospel teamwork means we work side by side because we're together in the book of life. Verses 4 through 9, he gives them several practical commands. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your reasonableness be known. Don't be anxious. Pray for everything. Let the peace of God guard your hearts. Think on things that are true and honorable and just and pure. And verse 9, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Gospel teamwork means we model Christ for each other and we imitate Christ in each other. We model Christ in each other and we imitate Christ in each other. Think about the great blessing that we have that is not available in all places in the world, but to have people in our congregation who are part of our gospel team who have walked with the Lord for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and to look at their lives and to imitate those things and to hear their testimonies and to say, we have the opportunity to not only just hear the Word of God. You think about places where the gospel goes for the first time and you have all first-generation Christians. And they're struggling. They're working through things like in the book of Acts. What does it mean to follow Christ? We have examples of that right in front of us that we interact with week by week. That's a beautiful thing. Many times in our culture, it's like, well, everyone just wants to hang out with people who are their age and think exactly like them. But in the church, we have opportunity for the whole spread. And if you say, well, I'm young, what can I do? Well, Paul tells Timothy, be an example of the believers. You be an exemplary believer so that you encourage those who are older and you remind them, this is what we're doing. This is what we're focused on. Gospel teamwork means we model Christ for each other and we imitate Christ in each other. And then finally in verses 10 through 19, this is the section that has to do with the sharing in the gospel teamwork that has to do with money. And in fact, he says in verse 15, you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel when I left Macedonia, so when he began that trip into Macedonia and then down into Achaia, that first time when he came, he said, no church entered into partnership. There's the word, fellowship, sharing. Has to do with finances here with me and giving and receiving, except you only. He says, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. That was the next place that Paul went after Philippi. And even right from the beginning, they were helping him out. You have needs, we want to help you. We want to care for you. We want to take care of you. Gospel teamwork means that we serve God by serving each other financially. And what Paul says about their gift is, he says, you gave to God, and in so doing, you gave to me. Those are both the same thing. And he says, I received from God. God supplied all my needs, and he did it through your gifts. So in other words, we give to God. God uses our gifts to meet the needs of our gospel partners, of our gospel teammates. And we share in that way. Gospel teamwork means we serve God by serving each other financially. Now, this is not an exhaustive study of the book of Philippians, but just a quick look through that lens of gospel teamwork. I'd encourage you, maybe even this afternoon, go back through the book of Philippians. Pastor Smith read it for us. We looked through it briefly here. And go through each of those points and ask yourself about the two goals of the gospel, both internally, that the gospel would see others become more like Jesus Christ, and externally, that the gospel would go to people who don't believe in Jesus Christ and give them the good news that they can be right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And look at each one of those and say, which one of those goals, or both, is being accomplished by these purposes of gospel teamwork? And to think about that. And to think about how we, as Westerville Bible Church, can partner with one another in the gospel. To see one another become more like Jesus Christ. And then as we leave this building, to take the gospel to people who don't know. For the glory of God. Because living is for Christ. And even dying is gain. We're willing to give everything for the team. And so I trust that would be your prayer as well, that we would be able to thank God for one another's partnership in the gospel. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to look into your word. We thank you for what we have in front of us and the opportunity to think about what that means in our own church and in our own lives. We pray that not only would Westerville Bible Church be a good gospel team, but that each one of us individually would be good gospel teammates, that we would be focused on the goals of seeing the gospel work in our lives to make us more like Jesus Christ, and to see God use us to take the gospel to other people and to other places as well. We thank you for the opportunity we have through Jesus Christ to be united with one another. We thank you that you've placed us here, that we need one another, and that we can minister to one another. Lord, please help us to take that responsibility and that desire seriously. We pray all this in Jesus' name.